This is Jim, and I was just thinking. See if I can turn my watch on yet. Ah, yes, we can hit the watch. I've been including the walk up the big hill in front of my house as part of my workout since. It is a bit of a workout, so I don't feel like I'm cheating. Especially since it's about a quarter mile and about a 10% grade. For those of you who are brand new, and there may be somebody who's brand new, so just talking with my buddy Titanium Tim last week, who should be a new listener to this podcast. I was listening to the previous shows I had, but for whatever reason didn't know about this one. So a little history about I Was Just Thinking, the podcast. I Was Just Thinking is in fact my longest running podcast. I don't remember if it was 2012 or early 2013, but somewhere around that time period is when this podcast came out. So the very first podcast I ever did was called Runners Anonymous. And it was, at least supposed to be, an audio magazine format. For those of you familiar with Chris Russell and Run, Run, Live, which I believe he has shuttered, no longer does it. The original plan was to be something similar to what Chris Russell was doing. But there was a big difference between Run, Run, Live and Runners Anonymous. Chris Russell ran his podcast very much like every episode was a business presentation. So, very scripted. I know for a fact he wrote scripts out and read them, because he said as much during his podcast, so I know that. And of course it came along like a business presentation, very tight, very professional. It was a great show. All right, very great, very good show. The big difference between that and Runners Anonymous was mine was less so that way. We'll get a little trot going here. So, mine was loosely organized, but definitely not as tightly organized as Chris's. And I found out after 7 episodes that I wasn't a big fan of that format. Simply put, it's a lot of work for free. So I decided to not do that anymore. And I created a show called The Seeker, which I think went 4 years, 250 episodes. Probably my most popular podcast that I've ever done. The Seeker, of course, morphed into Run Talk Run with my buddy Anthony, so he showed up at the end of The Seeker, because we were always running together, and I went, well, if we're going to run together all the time, maybe we should just adapt the show to be about both of us rather than just me and you as a special guest every week. So, of course, we did Run Talk Run, and that ran 3 years, I think. Right? Well, shortly after the Seeker started, which again would have been, I think, either late 2012 or early 2013. I think early 2013 is probably more accurate. My buddy down in Tampa, Norman Rosenberg, had two shows. He had his normal, I'm going for a run and I'm going to record what happens show. And then he had one called Walk Breaks, which that's what it was. It wasn't running. It was going for a walk. And it was just, you know, thinking out loud. Well, that was the genesis of this show. So, I was just thinking, it's basically my jumping on the bandwagon to my buddy's Walk Breaks. And I kept it for usually non-running topics. Throw a running topic in every once in a while, but and was never a really regular show that I did. It's kind of one of those, oh hey, maybe time for another one of these shows. Of course now it's the only show. So here you are, but yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say somewhere around 2013 until now, so 10 years, a decade for this show, so, and there it is, and it'll do what I need it to do. I can make a short program, I can make a long program, basically be whatever I want it to be. So, short history of the show you're listening to, and welcome, Titanium Tim. He promised me he'll be listening, so I know he will. So, there you go. Well, something you have not heard yet, and that's beeping. That's my plan today. I don't know if I'll carry it out or not, but the plan today is to go straight through. I might need to back off my pace a bit. It's a nice day out here, like 66 and sunny, which is good for the 12th of October in South Central PA. I believe normal high temperature for us this time of year is 67, so 66 is pretty much right on. So we're getting a day that is meteorologically normal for this time of year. Another halfway decent day tomorrow, and then we got rain coming for Saturday. So last time we chatted, I mentioned my plan was to run 5 days a week. Short runs during the week, long run on the weekend. Short runs would be straight through. Long runs, 5 miles or longer at this point, would be run walk. And I had decided, with your help, on that last episode, that my schedule was going to be running every day except Mondays and Fridays. That way I'd run Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so just 3 days in a row. And then I would run Saturday, Sunday. Right? Yeah, Saturday, Sunday. Which is two in a row for my five. Yeah, don't do math while you run. Bad luck. Right? But anyway, that way I would not be running more than 3 days in a row. And only 2 days in a row that would include a long run. So thank you for the suggestion. Even if you didn't realize you were the one that made it. But anywho, so you slag up another hill. So I ran on Sunday, and as planned, I did not run on Monday. And then Tuesday and Wednesday this week were absolute freaking blurs. My lovely wife was out of town, and between all the other responsibilities I had, and the amount of time and daylight that we don't have anymore this time of year, I did not run either of those days. So today, Thursday, is my first run this week since Sunday. So nice weather tomorrow. Plan is to do another three, because that's what this is going to be tomorrow, so that I don't feel bad not running in the rain on Saturday. And then as long as the weather cooperates, we'll run again on Sunday. Take Monday off, and we'll try for next week for Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. So anyway, there you go. So updates. Well, I have hit my 60,000 points. So yep, wearing my Garmin has been a benefit, because it will automatically sync up to that app we use at work. So 60,000 points means before taxes, sometime around Christmas, I got $1,000 bonus for doing work to stay healthy this year from my employer. So huzzah! Huzzah! Anyway, so we're on a step challenge. So, and the step challenges will not accept manually entered steps. It has to come from some sort of a device for it to count. So, since I have people counting on me, I'm going to continue to wear this watch for another, I think it's 20 days. So that way we make sure our team gets all the points we have coming, because there's a few people on that team of ours that haven't gotten to their 60,000, and you only have until like Thanksgiving to get that done. And if our team completes this challenge, everybody on the team gets 7,000 points. So I no longer need them, but I want to help out my coworkers get their $1,000 if they can. But yeah, once that challenge is done, then I'm back to Corvus. So, speaking of back, my lovely wife is back from the great nation of Texas, where she was Tuesday, Wednesday, and early this morning. So, had a nice visit with her friend and our maid of honor 23 years ago. And I was down in San Antonio. Took some time to do the mission walk. So San Antonio has a 12-mile loop where you basically go from old Spanish mission to old Spanish mission. It's an interesting combination between the state of Texas and the Catholic Diocese of San Antonio. So the missions, because they're churches, are still owned by the Catholic Diocese of San Antonio, but the property around them and this 12-mile loop that makes a state park is owned by the state. There's only one mission in that 12-mile loop that the state confiscated from the Catholic Church, and that is the Alamo. That's right. Alamo wasn't originally a fort, although they did fight from within it like it was a fort. So originally a Catholic church, but it was. But, you know, Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, Sam Houston, right? You got some famous American names that passed at the state. Went, nope. This is a historical landmark. And I figure, probably thinking, just in case the Catholic Diocese doesn't want this anymore, I'm going to make sure this thing doesn't get razed and take it over. Or it could have been for some other reason. I don't know. Just speculating. Which is a nice, educated way to say I'm guessing. So, there you are. So, but that was her Tuesday. Wednesday, she went up to Waco. And looked at the different properties owned by Chip and Joanna Gaines of HGTV fame. So she went to their restaurant, she went to their silos, and if you're thinking of going, certainly go. She found it to be rather touristy, rather expensive, and for the restaurant, probably one of the worst cups of coffee she ever had. Another thing she said about Waco, is that, and you don't see this from the HGTV, but said a lot of these locations are in really dodgy neighborhoods. She thinks because of all the touristy stuff, the city of Waco, is probably going to end up gentrifying these areas. So for those of you in Solve, that basically means the local city, township, whatever governance is in that area, is basically to push all the poor people out so that it can look nicer for all the people coming to town with their simulgas, their greenbacks, their Franklins, their Benjamins, their moolah, right? Now, where these poor people are going to go to live, not really their issue, right? At least not their concern. So, they will go somewhere that's not there. So, and we could have a whole moral discussion about what that means, but we won't. If you'd like to discuss it offline, I'm happy to, but not here. So, anyway. So it was one of those, I'm glad I came, but I will probably never come back. So, and then of course she went back to Austin. It's her home base. That's fairly equidistant between the two. A little closer to San Antonio than Waco. She basically kind of hung out in the hotel and watched TV, she said. A lot of the free stuff to do in Austin didn't really appeal to her. So, all right. Halfway. Take a quick little walk break here. As we turn around, we are at the 2.85K mark. And of course, I've switched everything over on my watch to kilometers and the metric system, which, yeah, whole conversation about why we're not on the metric system, but we should have been. We were supposed to be in 1980. The world would be a lot less confusing place if we were on the metric system, but we're not. We're not going to be on it anytime soon, and that's the way it is. But anyway. Last comment, though. I will say, figuring out a system that is all multiples of 10 whilst running, very helpful for runners. So, metric system, runner-friendly. You know, the old imperial units, while running, not so much. Not so much. So, all right, let's get back to it. So, there it is. All right, I'm going to Chris Russell talk to me for you here. Yeah, a couple of Chris Russell shout outs here today. There you go. Anyway, those of you who listen to Chris will know what that means with Hocktooie. He's an Olympic champion when it comes to podcasting and probably spitting for distance. So, I always found it humorous, which is why I mention it. So, good on you, Chris. Good on you. Anyway. So, but yeah, the lovely wife got home this morning. So all in all, it was a good trip. But if you're happy to be home and unless something has changed, probably still on our couch, fast asleep, because she was turning in her car this morning at 3:30 in the morning, Central Time. So, of course, that means she was up before then, so she's probably been up since 3:30 in the morning, our time here, Eastern Time. So, a little tired. And we have a trivia night this evening at our church. They do this about every other month. I think they might have missed a month. It was literally every other month for a while. I think this might be 3 months since the last one. I think the last one was in July. Or as they say down south, July. So, anyway. So the pace here is going well. I'm clipping along at what? 6.54K. Right, so 6.54 minutes per kilometer. So I'm doing a sub-7 kilometer. What that means in miles per hour, no clue, but as I mentioned before, my next run is in metric, so. I got a 15K, so I figure 7 times 10 is 70, so I can do a 10K at this pace in 70 minutes, so 1 hour and 10. Another 5K in 35 minutes, so that would give me, right now, 1 hour and 45 minutes for a 15K, which is definitely slower than I want for that bridge run, but gives me something to think about. So, there it is. I said before, I think, considering my lack of training for the last month, right now anything under 90 minutes for the 15K, so 29 and change for each successive 5K, I'll consider a win. So, there you go. What else? The goats are doing well. And all of them debudded except one, our goat Moira. Apparently, does not have horns. So, we brought her in when she was originally supposed to go, because they're supposed to go in before they turn 2 weeks old. So we brought her in. And they went, sorry, she doesn't actually have them. She might develop them later. She might be a slow grower. So, when the next group come in, because they were born about a week apart, just bring them with them and we'll see. Well, we did that. We did that on Tuesday of this week. And once again, they said, nope. You may get lucky. She may just not be born with horns. It does happen, but it's rare. So, she may not actually need any surgeries. So, huzzah. But the other ones did need their horns. Cauterized so they don't grow. That's all done. And we've gotten past the 48-hour mark, so the caps are staying on. No bleeding. They're not trying to scratch them off. They're actually leaving them alone, which is a kind of a huge surprise. So, our last group was not so good about that. Because like anything else, when it heals the itch, right? When it itches, you want to scratch it. You can't tell a goat to not scratch something that itches. I mean, of course you could say it, but you know what? The only person that understands that message is you, so it's a big waste of your time. But anyway, but they're doing well. Their personalities are coming out. So, Bean, our original runt, is now definitely soaking up the, hey, I'm cute, pick me up, and snuggle me. He even loves it. He'll come right up to you and put his front paws up on your leg, give you that look that says, you know you want to pick me up. You know I'm cute. You know you want to snuggle me. And you know what? He's right. I do. I do want to snuggle him. His big brother, and I do mean big brother, Malcolm, is also big on interaction. He doesn't want to be picked up. He's okay if you do it, but he's not in for snuggling. He'd rather you wrestle with him. And he is a big, big goat for being, what, a month old? He's got huge hooves on him. He's got this big, stocky frame and this tiny baby goat head on it. So I have a feeling he is going to be a big boy. I think he's going to be fighting to run the roost, to be alpha goat once he gets big enough to challenge the teenagers we have right now. So I'm gonna have a run for his money with his father, which is Owen. But his father's a little bull too. I think Malcolm's going to be bigger. Owen was tiny when he came out and kind of grew into his size. But now Malcolm's got it already, so I think Malcolm's going to be a big boy. So, and of course we've got Francesca, Moira. Moira's the one that so far sans horns. And she's a cutie. She likes a good snuggle. She's kind of quiet, kind of introverted. Not likely to ask you for it. But if you pick her up and you snuggle her, she's more than happy to accept a free snuggle. Her sister, Francesca, she's an extrovert. She's going to come looking for that snuggle. Just like Bean. She's going to go and put her paws up and give you that little cute little goat eye and say, oh, come on. You want to pick me up. You know you do. So, that's those two. Then we got the other triplets. Because we think Bean is actually probably one of three with Moira and Francesca, but separated at birth because all four of them were born at the same time or thereabouts. And when we went out, both moms were essentially claiming all four of them. We knew that was not the case. So. So, we kind of split them up by look. And so I turned out boys this side, girls that side. And the moms have accepted that. So, but our goat Piper had triplets, which are Mavis, Fergus, and Hamish. Well, Hamish is probably going to look the most like his dad, Gale. Gale is the goat we just lost a week ago. After he, I'm assuming, was kind of horsing around and hopped into an empty hay trough. Got stuff tangled up and somewhat upside down. But yeah, Hamish looks the most like him. So similar body style, long legs. That was a big notable thing with Gale. Very long legs. We figured he was going to be a very tall goat by the time he finished growing, because they grow for about a year. They're not technically adults until they're 1 year old. So, and when we lost Gale, he was about, it would be 10 months. So pretty close, but he looked like he still had a tad more growing that he was going to do. You can tell when goats are going to grow because their back end grows before their front end. So you're looking at a goat and they're kind of facing downhill, so you might say. Their back end is taller than their front end. That's a hint they're going to have another growth spurt. Anyway, when Gale passed, he had done another modification to his tail end, so we were expecting he was going to get even taller, but Hamish looks a lot like that, and he's a snuggler too. His brother, Fergus, very much like Malcolm. Okay, if you pick him up, you're not going to come looking for it, though. In that respect, a lot like Moira. Their sister, Mavis, well, if she were a person, that would be the daughter we were going to be worried about was someday going to join a biker gang, right? She is tomboy, roughhouser, full of energy, not a big fan of getting cuddled. Again, they'll all put up with it, but out of all of the group we got, she's the least happy about it. And she's going to make you work to catch her. So, there you go. Anyway, that's the group we got. So, looking to my left, and in a field that used to be forest, got all this concrete wall structures kind of haphazardly arranged in the middle of a field. And it kind of looks like, oh, a giant concrete version of Legos, you know? You can quickly put these little wall sections together to make the bottom of a building or something. But in their current haphazard, semi-circular arrangement, it looks like we have concrete Stonehenge going on here. Should have brought my camera. Of course, that means, i.e. my phone, and taken a picture of concrete Stonehenge, which I think is what I'll call this episode. It's an interesting title. So I don't know what they're doing. I mean, it could very well also be planning on digging out some ground, and that concrete wall system could be the makings of a basement of some sort, or a foundation for something. So, when I know, I'll let you know. So, alright, we've got about 70 meters to go. Staying in the metric frame of mind as we go up a small hill I use for hill training when I was doing customized, because it's the least severe hill around me. So, a few more steps and we'll cut this down to a walk. 3, 2, 1. All right. And since I'm including the walk up the hill, I'm going to include the walk down. But right now we're at 40 minutes for, what, 5.43K. So I should easily be somewhere around 5.6 kilometers for this one. So cool. And except for that little short walk break at the halfway mark, I was straight through. That's exactly what I wanted to do. So huzzah. So what else? What else? We've talked about running plans. We've talked about, again, a little bit about the race I have coming up in December. So, everything seems to be coming up roses. So now it's time to talk to you about medical issues. Because, of course, what would a podcast be from me if we didn't talk about poop or we didn't talk about medical issues? Seems to be what I have to talk about. So, was that my ENT, that's ear, nose, and throat for those of you in Solve. And at some point in the future, date to be determined later, I'm going to be going in for some surgery on my left ear. So there's a lot going on. Of course, the left side of my head is where that pulsatile tinnitus finds a home that I've been talking about for about a year now. There we go. Dude driving up the hill, I mean, coming right at me, I'm like, you know, so I'm like, give him a little wave, and that's when he noticed me and went, oh, wait a minute, if I don't turn to my left, I'll actually run right into you. And not going quickly up the hill either, you know. So, welcome to the country. Again, another reason why I do not do headphones out here. You need to have your wits about you and keep an eye on what's going on. Very much like when I used to ride on a motorcycle. Again, you need to pay attention for everybody else. You cannot assume, like people can do in a car, that other people see you, because they probably don't, right? They're busy daydreaming. They're busy texting. They're busy changing the radio in their car. They're busy looking everywhere else except right in front of you, right in front of them, like this guy. So, the responsibility is on you just as much as it is on them. But anyway, I may have to sidetrack myself. Shoot. Surgery. So at some point, I will be having what's known as tympanoplasty, which is a fancy way to say we're going to repair your eardrum. Let's shut our watch off here. Okay, good. And mastoidectomy, which means they're going to remove some or all of my mastoid bone, which is basically the bone. If you take your finger and you go behind your ear and you go to the bottom of your ear, that bone that kind of sticks out right there at the bottom, that's your mastoid bone. Probably going to remove that and do something that's referred to as a canal wall down procedure, which basically means they're going to remove that mastoid bone and in its place basically make a little pocket. Sometimes they refer to it as a bowl, but it's kind of more like a pocket where drainage and stuff can kind of go in, so it stays away from your eardrum, so it doesn't press on the eardrum, doesn't fester next to your eardrum, makes it a lot harder to get ear infections because there's nothing touching your eardrum. It does require you to go in every 6 months, kind of like going to the dentist, to have that little pocket professionally cleaned out. So I am told if I have this surgery, it will at least significantly reduce the pulsatile tinnitus. It will deal with that. It should also improve my hearing because, of course, I have a perforation, a hole, for those of you in Solve, in my eardrum. So I have half an eardrum. So they're basically going to create another half of an eardrum. So now I'll have a whole eardrum, and thus sound will not go through where my eardrum is, or isn't, as the case may be. It'll actually bounce off something, and again, I'll hear it. So my hearing should actually improve, which, pardon the cough, might mean I'll no longer need to wear a hearing aid in my left ear, at least for a while. That would be an improvement. And we'll see if that surgery fixes the other issue they think that I have right now, which is... hey, puppy. Which is called vestibular migraines. So basically, it is a nerve issue, which is what migraines are from, that they think is probably causing the headaches, and every once in a while I'll have like some mild, I'd call it lightheadedness, maybe some dizziness, nothing severe, and it's sporadic, it's not consistent, but all those kinds of symptoms. It may be, you know, and I've had this symptom for decades, where, you know, I'll get a headache when we change seasons. So we go from, you know, summer into the fall, you get that first crisp fall day, and I'll get a headache. And then, of course, we go from winter, and we get that first warm spring day, I'll get a headache, right? That, you know, for, yeah, at least the last 40 years, that headache has actually been a vestibular migraine. So again, if we, you know, fix the ear, that may take care of that as well, too. There's also things you should do to try and mitigate migraines, like any other migraine. Obviously, you need to stay away from chocolate, you stay away from alcohol, you stay away from caffeine. Basically, you need to hydrate and you eat healthy, right? It's, you know, hydrating and eating healthy fixes a lot of issues. So it's not rocket science. So obviously we're going to do that as well. Do I care which one fixes the issue? No, not really. Do I care more that the issue gets fixed? Yeah, pretty much. So I don't know if that's all going to happen this year or next year. It's not an emergency. So if it can wait until next year, I'd like it to, because at work we have a flexible spending account, FSA, and we can put up to $2,000 a year in that, which, again, you can only use it for medical bills. So it would be nice to have this happen early next year so that there is a fresh $2,000 to use for the part of the medical bill that my insurance is not going to pay for, so, which is going to be at least $2,000. So nice to have that set aside so we're not behind the eight ball financially, which we have been a couple of times with all the medical stuff in the last 2 years. So it would be nice to not to have to do that routine yet again. I mean, we're fine now. I mean, we're getting caught up, but yeah, it's, yeah, definitely did not hit us at a time that was financially beneficial, shall we say. So there it is. All right, I think that's enough for a show. Yeah, we've got certainly close to an hour, if not an hour right now, so we'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being out there. If you like what you're hearing, tell a friend. It would be nice to have more people listening. If you have any ideas for things you'd like me to talk about, let me know, and I'll work on that. But until then, be well, be safe, and catch you later.